possible, but I know that God wants to do a work here this morning, and I want every one of us to enter into it. Oh God, we come to you this morning. Praise God. You may be seated. Glory to Jesus. The title of the message that I have this morning is A Deeper Place. A Deeper Place. This message has been on my heart for some time, and I didn't have any of the message but the title. So oftentimes I get a message first and then try to come up with a title afterwards, but this title alone conveys the entire message that I'm trying to bring this morning, A Deeper Place. And if we could receive it by the Spirit, all I'd have to say is that, and then just leave, and then the work would be done. But I know that we are not all in quite the same place that I am in my heart as I received this, and I pray that by the grace of God I might be able to impart to you that which the Lord imparted to me. And I know that as I'm bringing these things, I'm bringing them to myself, I'm bringing them to the elders, to everyone in the assembly. This message applies equally to all of us. Equally to all of us and all of the time. Most of us have been on vacation for the past 3 weeks or so. And if you're like me, during times of vacation, I thank the Lord that I'm able to rest and able to get restored physically and so forth. But there's something that happens that you want to get back into the things of God. You can hardly wait to get back into the things of God. You lose a little bit when you're visiting with relatives and so forth, even though you get a chance to witness. You get a taste of the world, and usually leaves a pretty bad taste in your mouth, and you want to move on in the things of God. And I would challenge us all this morning that to lay the past aside and to prepare ourselves to move in with in this semester and move in as we've never moved in before. We at this church talk a lot about the deeper life. We've got a class in Bible college about the deeper life. And we talk a lot in our conversation and so forth about moving on with God. But I fear sometimes that our talk becomes cliches rather than real statements from the heart. Because we get so used to the fact that Community Chapel is moving on with God and that we automatically feel that we're moving on with God, but perhaps at times we're not really taking stock of exactly where we are spiritually and exactly where we individually are going. And I pray this morning that God would make this real to us, that these words that go forth would not be just taken in the context of everything else as just, you know, well, we've heard that before, but really let's hear this morning from the heart, and really, no matter where we are spiritually, no matter how well you feel that you're doing spiritually, really begin to let the Spirit of God look at our hearts and see where He would like to take us from here. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47 this morning. Ezekiel, chapter 47. God forbid that we should ever come to the place of the church of Sardis that was spoken of in the book of Revelation. Thou hast a name that thou livest, but art dead. And we can have a name that we live, and we can talk about life and so forth, but yet be dead within. And God would have us to be alive genuinely and down to the core of our souls. Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 5. This is a vision, a prophetic vision. There is a lot here that I'm not going to bring. There's a lot here that I don't know, because the book of Ezekiel is quite a book, and there's an awful lot there. But there's a principle here that I want to illustrate and use this as a kind of a launching point to the message. Ezekiel is being given a vision here of a river of living water. It says, afterward, verse 1, afterward he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house. The house is the temple of God. From out of the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out toward the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looked eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. He measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Now we've heard about this section of Scripture before in terms of the move of God in these last days, and it does apply to that. And it applies to that as I'm bringing it here, but I want to bring it into more specifically our personal relationship with God. The river here as we read on here, it talks about the fruit of the trees on both sides of the river and so forth. It becomes very clear that this is speaking of that very same river that we see in the book of Revelation chapter 22. You don't need to turn to it now, but I'll just read it quickly. It says in Revelation 22:1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." In the book of Revelation, we see this pure river of living water, the river of life, which is symbolic of the very Spirit of God that proceeds out of the heart of God and into the lives of believers. And this is what I want to picture this as this morning. The river symbolizes the river of life. The river of life is that river that Jesus said would come forth out of us. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water as you're filled with the Holy Spirit. This spake he the Spirit that they should receive. And so the river is the Spirit of God. And we see Ezekiel here being led by this angel to go deeper and deeper into the river. So the angel would measure 1,000 cubits and lead him a little bit deeper into the water, and then measure another 1,000 cubits and lead him a little bit deeper and lead him a little bit deeper. All the while he was walking into this river of water and going deeper in the river. And this speaks of the saints of God going deeper in the Spirit of God, which is what we're talking about this morning. And the deeper that we go into the water, and if you've ever waded into a lake or into a swimming pool, you notice that the further you get into the water, the less you're being supported by your legs, and the more of your weight is being supported by the water. And so it is in the Spirit of God. The more that you walk into the Spirit of God and the blessings of God, the less that you are being supported by your earthly legs upon this worldly system and upon your mundane understanding and upon your natural abilities, and the more you're being supported by God's Spirit Himself. And this ultimately takes its consummation in the time when your feet leave the ground and you're suspended completely by the water and are able to move and swim in the Spirit of God. Also, as you go deeper in the water, there's less of yourself that's seen. The more that you walk into the water, the less of you is showing, until finally when you're swimming, you're almost completely immersed in the Spirit of God. Once you launch out into the water to the point where your feet can no longer touch, you have to rely completely upon the support of the water, and you cannot rely upon your natural mode of propulsion, that is walking. You must now rely upon a new mode of propulsion, swimming. You must learn to move in a new way and operating on different principles. And you have to begin to move. Most of you have noticed, if you jump in the water that's over your head, you're not going to stay there very long if you remain motionless. You've got to begin to move. You've got to begin to tread water. You can't just stay there in a stationary condition. You have to begin to move. So it is in the Spirit of God. In order to stay up in the Spirit, you've got to be moving in the Spirit. You've got to be active. You've got to be alive in the Spirit. You can't just stay still or you'll sink to the bottom. Also, you must breathe more deeply in order to swim. Swimmers have to learn breath control, just like we have to learn music ministry. And largely, spiritually speaking, for the same reasons. Because we need to keep full of air. You need when you're swimming, you're exerting energy, and you need to have the air to burn, the oxygen to burn in your cells in order to have the energy to continue swimming, even more so than when you're walking. And so it becomes important to keep your lungs as full of air at all times as possible. And the air also is typological of the Spirit. The word pneuma in Greek can be used for air, for wind, or for spirit. And so we have to keep filled with the Spirit. You have to keep your lungs full of the Spirit in order to move in the Spirit, in order to maintain that walk in the Spirit. And I've noticed that it's an interesting thing along with this, that we cannot speak without air. Whenever you speak, you have to take in a breath, and the air flows from your lungs through your voice box and so forth for you to be able to speak. Once you run out of air, you can't speak. And there's a spiritual truth here, because so we can't speak, just as we cannot speak physically unless our lungs are filled with physical air, so we cannot speak the Word of God and the things of the Spirit of God unless we're filled with His Spirit and have His Spirit motivating the words that come forth, so that it's God's action coming forth, just using our physical vessels as a channel through which to speak. Well, I brought this, the fact that we must move deeper in the Spirit. We all know we've got to go deeper in God. That's not anything new. But the real problem is, how do we get there? How do we go deeper in the Spirit of God? We know how to walk in water, but how do we apply this to our spiritual lives? How do we move in that place that God is calling us to? And there's a lot of things we could say about that. We could say, well, we need to pray more. Yes, I believe we need to pray more, but I don't believe that that in itself is the answer to the problem. I don't believe that prayer alone will get you there, because it's true that if you're going to get there, you've got to pray. But prayer alone will not get you there if it's all mechanical and if it's just coming out of the head and it's not coming from the heart. Well, maybe it's study. Maybe we need to study the Word of God more. Maybe we need to study our Scriptures more diligently, and that will take us deeper in God and take us to this place that we're talking about. Yes, we need to study. Yes, we need to study God's Word. Yes, we need to be diligent, but I don't think that that's the answer either. Well, what about cleaning up our lives? What about cleaning up the things in our lives, the bad habits and the sins that so easily beset us? Yes, I believe that's true, but I don't believe that's really the key to what I'm trying to bring this morning and the thing that's going to actually bring the results. Well, maybe we should witness more. Yes, we should witness more, but even that in itself will not bring you to a deeper place in God. You can witness and dry up while you're witnessing if there's no life there and if you're not moving in to the depths of the Spirit of God and coming into personal contact with God Himself. None of these things is the means, they are results. The answer, simply, is drawing closer to Jesus Himself. To Jesus Himself. And that's the main emphasis of this whole message. It's not the things of Jesus, it's Jesus Himself. We've heard it before, but I believe that now is the time that God wants to quicken this to us as never before. What Mary brought forth and what Danny brought forth are right in line with the message that I have to bring. And that was a thrill to my heart as I heard it come forth, because it was exactly what God is speaking. And I want to talk now about the means to moving into these very things and actually attaining those things that God has challenged us to attain. And the answer is a closer relationship with Jesus Himself. Not a deeper experience, even, that lasts for a moment. I'm not talking about a deeper experience. I'm talking about a deeper place. A deeper place. A deeper plane of existence in God. And this is not a matter of feelings at all. There may or may not be feelings associated with it, but I'm talking about a condition of the heart and a real deep place in God that may or may not be accompanied with feelings. And the actual outward things that you may have to be doing in your life will vary from person to person. And it's going to change from regardless of all of us are different. We're at a different place in our spiritual life. Some of us have strengths in some areas and weaknesses in others. But it doesn't have to do necessarily with those things and where you are. It has to do with a deep condition of the heart. And the outward is going to be different depending on the person and depending on the work that needs to be done. The single most important thing in the entire Christian life, we need to be reminded of this from time to time, is not even witnessing or saving souls or praying, but it is knowing Him. Knowing Him. Being in a place with God to know Him personally. Not just His Word even, but Him Himself. Paul prayed that I might know Him, and we've sung that song, that I might know Him. It's one of my favorite songs because it expresses the very depth of my heart, and the thing that I know that I need more than anything else is to know Him. And not just to know Him intellectually, but to know His heart and to begin to feel myself being transformed and changed into God Himself in His very nature and feel His Spirit moving within my life so that it consumes all of me. God is calling us to a deeper place of greater personal reverence, awe, and love for God Himself. A personal reverence for God. George, a few weeks ago, spoke about the fear of God, and this relates to that. But I'm speaking more here about a reverence for God, an overwhelming awe at His very presence and His very nature and what He really is and who He really is. I feel that we need to begin to flee in our hearts from the cares of this life and into His quiet presence. Not necessarily a boisterous, dynamic thing, but a quiet assurance and settling into the very presence of God. In a way that God can commune with us and speak to our hearts, and that we can hear that still small voice and we can learn at His feet. And this is going to come through prayer. It's going to come through meditation and all of these things. But I believe it's going to be manifested and it's going to work in every area of our Christian life. We need to keep tasting the goodness of the Lord. So often, the reason that we backslide and become lethargic is because we're not tasting the goodness of the Lord. We're beginning to get used to the Christian walk, and we're not moving in a little bit deeper. So it begins to, you know, anything that tastes good to you, if you eat too much of any one kind of food, no matter how much you like it, you'll get tired of it eventually. And God wants us to keep tasting that He is good, but we need to keep moving on in that tasting that the Lord is good. There's a lot of scriptures about that. But God wants us to move to a place of beginning to taste some of the new things in God. God is always new. He's new every morning. He's changing us from glory to glory. It's not that God is changing. He's always the same. But we are changing. We're drawing closer to Him. And we need to keep moving in Him to begin to taste of the things of God and taste of the goodness of the Lord. A person who's tasting of the goodness of the Lord has no inclination to backslide or to turn away from God. He is in the presence of God. He knows where he is. And he's receiving the things of God. So there's no tendency toward going these other ways. Too often, after having tasted some of the good things of God, and we all have, we've all tasted the things of God. When we got saved, we tasted the good things of God. When we were filled with the Holy Spirit, we tasted the good things of God. Anything that we have experienced in God, we've been tasting of it. But oftentimes, after experience like this, of being in God's presence, we kind of feel that we've kind of met the quota for a while, and we're just going to kind of settle back here for a while, and we get a little bit dry. And when we get dry, we begin to feel, well, I better get back, but we get too anxious and we begin to start trying to substitute the things of Jesus for He Himself. And so we get involved in ministries, we get involved in this, we get involved in that. We are there, we're doing things and so forth, but somehow it just doesn't seem to satisfy. Somehow we're not getting fed. Somehow we leave a service and we just know we have not really got what other people were getting at the same service. We just haven't got something there. Even though we've heard the words and even though we've sung the songs, there was something missing. And the thing that's missing is that personal touch of you in the Lord Jesus Christ, actually coming into contact with God. All of the things that we do in the Christian life are to come into contact with God, but many of them can be done on the outside without ever coming into contact with God Himself. And whenever that happens, we begin to feel dry inside. And God has made it that way. He wants us to feel dry inside when we haven't come into contact with Him. He doesn't want us to be satisfied with anything but Himself. That's why all these other things that we try just don't do the trick. Because God is not going to let anything else do the trick but Himself. He's the only one that can satisfy. Not even a ministry or an anointing or a blessing from God can take His place. You can be ministering and ministering and ministering, but you can be dry in the very act of ministering unless you've got a personal touch with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can be praying and you can be witnessing and you can be doing all of these things. But yet, there's something missing. And that something missing is Jesus Himself. Jesus Himself. There are times when we need to forget about everything else but Jesus Himself. Our whole life, our ministry, our direction, everything but Jesus Himself. And I believe that this is one of those times that God would draw us into His bosom, into His very presence. Not in a boisterous way, but in a gentle, loving way, but in a very deep way that settles to the very core of our being and transforms us from within. Turn to Psalms chapter 34, if you will. Psalms chapter 34. Starting in verse 8. Reading through the rest of the psalm. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. There's action involved in this. We cannot taste Him unless we move into that place where we can. In other words, God is not going to just dump Himself upon you arbitrarily. He says to taste and see that the Lord is good. Partake of that good thing. Put that manna in your mouth and chew it and swallow it and let it become a part of you. And you'll begin to find that the Lord is good. Taste of Him. Don't just sit as an observer. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. No want to them that fear Him. No want whatsoever. There's no lack. There's nothing missing to them that fear Him. Not to those who are simply striving after a ministry or striving after the blessings of God, but to those that are seeking Him just for who He is and what He is. Verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? All of us do. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and are delivered, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit. And this is really the key. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken, speaking of Christ prophetically. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they shall hate the righteous, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So God is speaking here of the fact that tasting of God himself and seeking God himself is the thing that we need, and that all these other things will be added unto us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And the kingdom of God is not just seeking God's will on the earth, but it's seeking God himself. The kingdom of God is in our hearts, and it's making him King of kings and Lord of lords in our hearts. One more scripture along this line, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so was my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. God would have us to sit down under his shadow, to sit in his presence, and to begin to taste of the fruits that he would give unto us in a personal way, in an intimate way, with just the presence of God in ourselves. Verse 4, he says, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. There have been tongues and interpretations in this assembly where God has spoken of the banqueting table and the precious things that he's put upon the banqueting table for us to partake of. And I fear that many of us have not partaken of even the first of them, oftentimes, because we hear it, but we don't know how am I going to get there? How am I going to reach out and grab a hold of that thing? How am I going to really do it? And so we get so excited about trying to get it done that we do everything we can. We go and pray for hours and hours and just say, I've got to get it, but we don't get it because we're not just sitting in the presence of God and letting him begin to speak to us. You really miss something in your prayer life if you don't allow God to speak to you in your prayer life. You need to speak to God, but you need to listen to his voice, too. And it's not always something you're going to hear audibly. But there are times when I just can't say anything. I just sit there, and I just begin to meditate on the things of God. And I begin to find that God's life begins to flow, and I begin to feel his presence in a way that I can't sometimes when I'm just so anxious to get there that I'm missing the whole thing. Many people dry up right in the midst of a revival. And the reason for that is that they're not seeking God himself. Like Danny mentioned, some are there for the loaves and the fishes, and loaves and fishes can't supply your spiritual need. When the people that came after the loaves and fishes to follow Jesus, they got something to satisfy a physical need, but they were never satisfied spiritually. They never had what they needed to receive. That's why Jesus was so concerned that they not go away and not really have not really tasted of the things of God. Jesus spoke about abiding in him. He says, you cannot have life except you abide in me, and without me you can do nothing. To abide in him. That means to live and to dwell in him. That means to be in a place in God that cannot be counterfeited by just things that we do on the outside. We can be active in a lot of things, but unless we're abiding in him, it will not bring forth that which God would desire to bring forth in our lives. It just doesn't do the same thing. Those of us in music ministry know that unless the Spirit of God is anointing that thing that comes forth, it's not going to do the work. The very same words, the very same melody, the very same song can be sung by someone who doesn't have the heart of God, and it won't do the thing. The reason is that unless we're abiding in Christ, it will not happen. God is honoring a principle that he has laid down, and he doesn't want us to be fed with artificial manna. He wants us to be fed with the real thing, and the real thing is the only thing that can produce the works in our lives. And so when we begin to find that we're going through the motions, but something is missing, that we know that we're in the place that I'm talking about here, and we need to begin to move in to a place with God, not by anything that we're going to do, but by a decision of our heart and by a growing desire in our heart and a recognition of what's wrong. And I'm going to get to that later. We must be in living fellowship with God Himself to have life. In living fellowship with God Himself. That's what Jesus meant when He said to be abiding in Him. And He used the analogy of the vine and the branches. The branches are in living fellowship with the vine itself. They are receiving the food of the vine, and they're exchanging and so forth, and the sap is flowing through, and there's nourishment coming to every part based on the life that comes from the roots and God Himself. And so as we are in Him, God is flowing through us, and there's life there. But when that life ceases, anything that we do in the outside will not avail. In our prayer life, as I've mentioned before, if there's no real communication of a heart with God, we can become dry right in the midst of our prayer. And we can pray for hours and hours. But if there's no communication of your heart with God's heart, that doesn't always mean that you have to be praying in the Spirit. Sometimes we need to pray in English. Sometimes we need to express in English exactly what's going on in our hearts so that we get our minds geared into what's going on and we get something done so that we're actually communicating with God in our own hearts and in our own soul. God does a work when we pray in the Spirit, and we know that. But I believe there's a place that we need to be expressing ourselves in our own language to God, and if for nothing else, but to let ourselves know exactly what we feel and exactly what we need. We need to talk to God. We need to pray honestly. Now, you can spend hours at a prayer meeting and walk away and something didn't happen. I never got anything done. Why was it? I came out of that dry. Well, I think more than anything else, we didn't really communicate with God. We were praying in the Spirit, but we were thinking about other things were going through our mind and so forth, and it's so hard to get that mind geared into this. That's why it's oftentimes good to start praying in English, because you can't pray in English unless you're thinking about what you're saying. And so you begin to have to start thinking about what you're saying, and as that thing begins to build, you begin to express, Lord, I need You. Lord, I need You. There's lacks in my life. Lord, I've got to move into a deeper place with You, Lord. I want You, Lord. And begin to express those things with your mouth. Then you can begin to pray in the Spirit, and you begin to see things happen. But God wants us to pray honestly and just telling Him what it is. It doesn't have to be an eloquent, dynamic prayer. It doesn't have to be anything that you'd be proud to have someone else listen to. Some of the most stirring and powerful prayers are ones that wouldn't be very eloquent to the natural ears. And sometimes you just groan in the Spirit. You can't even hardly express what's going on. But you need to begin to start expressing yourself to God in prayer. Really expressing. That's what prayer is, talking to God. And beginning to listen, to begin to have an exchange between you and the Lord in your prayer life. And tell Him that you need Him. Tell Him that you need more of Him. Tell Him that you love Him. Tell Him what you need and what the desires of your heart are, and confess to Him those things that are weak in your life that need to be changed. So often we deceive ourselves, and we come in and pray and so forth, but we're just not getting it because we're not really getting honest with God and really trying to tell God exactly what it is, because it doesn't do any good to beat around the bush with God. You'll never get anywhere that way. You'll never get anywhere by pretending that something isn't there when it is. It's much better to just get it out in the open, let the Lord take care of it, and the very expressing of that thing is the first step toward actually overcoming it. In our witnessing, we need to have the life of God in active fellowship in our hearts in order to have the true compassion of Christ and to have the true love of God. When we begin to lack a compassion for souls, the reason usually is, more than anything else, that not because we don't see the need, we do see the need, but we just haven't been close to the Lord. We haven't been close to His heart. We haven't had contact with Him personally. And we get dulled so easily when we don't. And sometimes when we're in that state, our witnessing becomes just defending our theology rather than really imparting to someone the life of Christ. And as soon as it gets to a point where you're just defending your theology and arguing, you've lost the whole thing. You've lost the whole purpose for going out and sharing with someone because they're not seeing the life of Christ. They're seeing someone who's trying to defend their position. In our worship, in our singing, in our song services, we've heard it before, not to be just singing the words mechanically, but to be expressing our hearts to God. And so often we can do this if we just recognize what's happening. If we'll just come into the service and if we begin to find ourselves not getting anywhere, just begin to stop and think, what's happening here? I'm not in contact with God. I'm not making it. I'm not feeling His presence. And as soon as you acknowledge that, you're on the way to getting through. As soon as you begin to acknowledge that and begin to say, well, there's something wrong here, Lord, if you just have to stop and talk to the Lord under your breath and just tell Him exactly what's going on, And the more you begin to express those things, your mind begins to focus in on that thing that it's supposed to be on. And you begin to find the very thing happening that you've been praying about. It almost never fails. But again, we need to express it. In our studies, we need to come to a place in our studies where we're not just doing homework, but we're preparing to be used of God. If someone comes into the room and says, "What are you doing?" We're not saying, "Oh, I'm doing assignment to try to get this in on time." You can be saying, "I'm preparing to become a son of God. I'm preparing to become a minister of God." And that will begin to quicken you as to exactly what you're doing. And every time you sit down, begin to think about what you're really doing here. What am I really doing? So often we lose sight of exactly what we're here for in the mundane things that we're doing all along. And I believe that God, we can't maintain this status all the time, but there are times when we... need to settle down and begin to ask ourselves exactly where am I and where am I going. The giving of time and money. This is what was brought up this morning. The only way a person can ever really give as a cheerful giver and give sacrificially is if they are in contact with the living God Himself. Yeah, there's no other way. There's no other substitute for it. You can give, but it won't do the work, and it won't satisfy your heart, and you'll feel a grudging feeling in your heart that you had to give this if there's no personal contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to many of you that find yourself in this condition, and you know that you haven't been giving of your time and of your money and the things that you know you need to be doing, and you felt the conviction of the Lord, my answer to how you're going to overcome this is to draw closer to Jesus Christ Himself, to realize what He's done for you, to realize how many are in darkness and are lost. And once you begin to realize that and begin to draw close to Him personally and begin to know Him personally and intimately, you will begin to find... Thank you, Gordy. Body ministry. Praise the Lord. You begin to find that you're accomplishing what God has ordained you to accomplish in that area. We've got to move into that place. We've got to know that... it's not a difficult thing to walk with God. It's not a hard thing. I remember when we first started this church, I was going to the University of Washington, and I was not what you'd call well off financially. I was, just like the other, most of the Bible college students are now, and just kind of existing, and I had very little to give. And when I went in the Lutheran church, we had always been taught, throw in the dollar and so forth, and when the offering plate came around, and this is what I was used to. And when it started coming forth about giving, I knew the Lord was beginning to lay it on my heart, but I couldn't imagine how I could get by if I gave 10% of my, income to the Lord, let alone 10% before taxes. And I couldn't imagine how I'd ever make it. And it was a difficult thing for me to go through. But the time came when the love of God was so, we were beginning to see God move and beginning to see the needs and so forth. And it wasn't a difficult thing to do when it came to that time. And once it was done, I can't imagine how, I got along better afterwards than I ever did before. And it was no difficult thing. And I felt myself becoming attached in my heart to that assembly because I was giving of myself. And so many, one of the reasons that we don't really get what God wants us to have is because we're not totally personally committed to that assembly and to that work of God. And we're standing by as observers. But once you're beginning to give of your own financial well-being and of your time and of your money and all of these things, you become identified and attached to the body in a way that you can't be otherwise. And it's too easy just if you're just throwing in the dollar on Sunday to become remote from everything that's going on and kind of as a distant observer. But God wants us to move in and become a part of it, and that's precisely why He requires these things of us. Not a certain amount of money, not a certain amount of time, but whatever you can give, and He'll lay it upon your heart to do that very thing. And you'll find that it's not a hard thing to do at all. And as Danny has testified, and many others have testified about this, it's the most wonderful thing that can happen to you, to be giving of yourself, no matter what area it is. Once you're giving of yourself, you're finding yourself being changed. And that giving will only come by a personal relationship with God and a personal touching of the heart of God and getting to know what His needs are and what He desires. The Lord spoke to us this morning and said that He needs us. He needs us. He wants us to give. He wants us to give of ourselves. And because of what He's done for us, we should all have it in our heart and the desire to move into that place. In our ministries, in teaching and preaching, exhorting, testifying, any ministry that you're involved in, I feel very keenly a goading of the Spirit of God to move into a deeper place in my ministry, in teaching especially. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with where I've come so far. And I'd be in bad shape if I was, because God is calling us to a deeper place in the ministries. And not necessarily just on what comes on the outside, but what's going on in my heart. Where am I in my relationship to God? How much do I know God's heart? How much can I feel His presence and feel His anointing, feel His power flowing through me? And in preaching the Word, in exhorting, in testifying, in the assembly, areas that many of us can be involved in. Many of the young men also can be involved in exhorting more than they are. And many can be involved in testifying more than they are, but with the anointing and the power of God, more than they are. We're not there yet, and God is calling us to a deeper place. But what is it that's going to bring forth this? It's going to be contact with Jesus Christ Himself. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13, Acts chapter 4, verse 13, this is a simple message. There's nothing, complicated theology here, but sometimes the simple ones are the ones we really got to get down. That's where we need to be brought back to the simplicity of the gospel. It says here, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That they had been with Jesus. Because of the anointing and the power of God, they saw that they'd been with Jesus. It follows that boldness and anointing and the power of God will only come as we are with Jesus, as we are in His presence, as we are communing with Him and fellowshipping with Him. And not just with each other. We need to fellowship with each other, but we need to be fellowshipping with God Himself, with Jesus Christ Himself. We need to be drawn into that relationship with Him alone. And then it's going to flow out from the life, and people will know that you've been with Jesus. Same is true of music ministry and all of these areas of ministry. It has to come from the heart because we know Him. The songs that bless me the most are the ones that have come by the Spirit and a heart who has made contact with the Almighty God. And you can tell right away as soon as the song comes forth. Most of those songs, it's kind of like I've heard them before, even though they're brand new, because they relate to something in my very own life and relate to really getting close to God and doing business with God. So many songs out in the Gospels, radio stations, so forth, that you hear, just don't carry the message. It's so caught up in the actual singing of the song and so forth that the message gets lost and you don't get edified and you don't get built up. But a song, even if it's not sung perfectly, that comes right from the heart and is speaking the very things of God from the heart, from the depth of the heart, ministers my soul so much. Most of the time when I get sermons, it's listening to gospel and song tapes and so forth. I just listen to the word of God, and it begins to do a work in my heart, and things begin to come. But all of these areas of our lives will be changed if we concentrate all of our attention on moving to a deeper place of knowing and loving God. That's the key to the whole thing. And there's no one thing that you can do here, one thing that you can do here that's going to turn the trick for you. So many people come for counsel and saying, now what can I do to overcome this problem? And most of the time I really can't tell them one thing that's going to do it, but it's that whole heart relationship with God. And you begin to probe and find out where their desires are. What do they want from God? What do they want in God? And when we begin to place our emphasis on where we want to be in God, we begin to start getting on the right track as to getting there. I can't tell you how to get there in a simple way. This message is not going to be able to tell you how to move into this deeper place. I wish I could. I wish I could just tell you the formula, and then we could all apply it, and we could all be there. But God has set up things in such a way that He is requiring of us something that cannot be generated just on the outside or copying what someone else does or listening to what someone else got it. There is a place that God wants to meet you individually as an individual in a personal way. And that place is going to be found only in your own life and in your own heart and in your own relationship with the Lord. God's presence can be felt in many ways, and I feel that the key of it is feeling God's presence. And how do we feel God's presence? Well, some people feel it in prayer more than any other way. Some people feel it in studying the Word of God, and the Spirit of God will come upon them, and they're studying the Word of God, and God will speak to them, and they'll feel the presence of God in a way that they can't feel any other way. Some will do it in witnessing, as they're sharing the gospel with others, and the anointing comes down upon them, they begin to feel the presence of the Lord. Well, that's fine. Some in worship. And all of us should feel it in worship, in all of these areas, really. But in worship, in worshiping God, and getting lost in the Spirit of God, and just beginning to praise Him and magnify His name, not just idle words, but really coming in contact with God. And that's where they come into contact with the Lord. And if that's the place that it's easiest for you, begin to worship the Lord more and more, and really, really come to grips with this thing in the Spirit. Some in just hearing the preaching and the teaching and the exhortation and the messages that come forth, and receiving it in their hearts. And they feel the presence of the Lord in this way than more than any other way. But regardless of which way that you feel the presence of God, the greatest in, there's one thing that is certain. If we seek Him with our whole heart, we shall receive of God. God has promised that. God has said that. If you seek Me with your whole heart, you will receive. It's a promise of God. And that's the key to what I want to say. Begin to seek Him with your whole heart. Begin to seek Him with your whole heart, regardless of what manifestation that may take. That may take hours in the prayer room for you. That may take a deeper, diligent study of the Word of God and reading the Word of God and letting God speak to your heart more and more. Whatever it is that it takes that you know in your own life that's been lacking and you need to move into a closer relationship with God, that's the thing to concentrate on. But more than anything else, keep this in mind. Seeking God Himself, His own personal presence. Sometimes I find the greatest personal relationship with the Lord in just reading the Gospels and reading what Jesus did and what Jesus said, and just beginning to find myself in that place of actually communing with Him and identifying with Him and knowing Him. But we have to acknowledge our need. We have to acknowledge our need. Those that don't acknowledge their need will never ever move into the things of God. Those that don't acknowledge their need for salvation never get saved. Those that don't acknowledge their need for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues and the power and the anointing of God never receive it. And so they go on their existence without ever having received it because they didn't acknowledge their need. And so it is in this area. If we think that we're all right, that we're in a place with God, that we're satisfied and so forth, well, fine, but God is calling us deeper. There's another 1,000 cubits to travel, another deeper place in God to move. None of us, until we are home in glory, will be to the place where we can say that we don't need to go any deeper in the Lord. And so no matter where we are in our Christian life, God is calling us this morning, every one of us, to take a deeper step, to move on a little bit further in God and become more overwhelmed by His power and by His presence and by His Spirit. How do we know that we need to go deeper? Well, we all know that, but there's some specific things in our lives that are good indications of our need to go deeper. Sometimes we begin to become just insensitive in our Christian walk. We begin to get a little dull. We begin to not sense things anymore. There's not quite the impact anymore that there was before when things are brought forth and when we see things in the world. And sometimes if we go for a long period of time with no feeling at all, there's something wrong. I'm not one who believes in feeling per se. We know that we need to go by fact and not feeling. But nevertheless, if you go for a long time without any feeling at all, you know there's something wrong someplace, because God does give feeling, and there's something there, there's a result, there's something missing. And if you're in that state right now, if you know you've gone a long time and you haven't felt the presence of the Lord, this message is for you this morning. You need to feel it. You need, and you can, just this morning, as we allow that desire to well up within us and we recognize what it is and we begin to move in to receive it by faith. Just like Ezekiel in the water, if we use that analogy again, most of you know that if you stay at one level in water, you'll get used to the water at that level, and pretty soon you don't feel it anymore. When you're wading out in the pool, if you wade out ankle deep, if you stay there long enough, you won't feel the water anymore. You'll just kind of, you become insensitive to it because you get used to it. Then you wade out a little bit further, and at first you begin to feel it, tingles a little bit, and so forth, and the nerves begin to react. But after a while, if you're just sitting there and standing there, the nerves get a little dull, and you don't feel it anymore. And that's the way it is in our Christian walk. We move in God, and we go deeper in the Lord. But as we stop in a certain place for any length of time, pretty soon our spiritual nerves begin to get a little bit dulled, and we don't feel anything anymore. And then we wonder, what, Lord, what happened? Did you forsake me? No, you're still there in that same depth that you were, but God is saying, well, now it's time to move a little bit deeper, and you'll feel things again. Once you start moving those legs, and the water begins to flow around your legs, and you go a little bit deeper, then you begin to start getting the feeling again, because you're moving in the Spirit of God. And any motion in the Spirit of God will result in feeling. If you find it hard to endure trials, if you find it just it's just too difficult to go through the trials that you're going through, you need to go to a deeper place in God, because that's oftentimes the very reason why He's allowing the trial to come upon you, so that you might move to that deeper place. And then it won't be so hard to endure the trial at all. It never fails that when a trial comes upon you, once you begin to get a hold of God, and when you begin to seek God for this thing, even though the trial might still be there, it doesn't mean the same thing to you anymore. You've moved to the place where God is desiring you to move, and that thing just doesn't look the same as it did before. Take these trials as a challenge to go deeper with the Lord. If you find yourself with very little desire to witness, you know that you need a deeper place in the Lord. You know you need to get in contact with Him some more, because God wants you to share the gospel with the lost. And He's always ready and able to give your mouth words to speak. But if you begin to feel dulled in that, you're becoming insensitive to the Spirit of the Lord, and you need to go right to Him. Not just to go pray about it necessarily, but to get in contact with God Himself. You may not even need to pray about it. You just may feel the conviction of God about it, and just hearing the word and say, Lord, that's it. I'm going to move into it. And you may just make the decision in your heart, and you begin to feel it happen right there. But whatever it takes, we've got to get there. If we lose our desire to pray, the flesh doesn't like to pray. But if the Spirit is so in love with God and so hungering a place with God and wants that place with God so bad, it's going to override the desires of the flesh, and you're going to be there. And even though the flesh won't like it, that's good for it. To give sacrificially, this is the very, very same thing. To minister, this is the same thing as I've mentioned before. And if you begin to find it hard to do things that it was once easy to do and it was once a joy to do, then you know there's something wrong. If when you first got saved, it was a joy to begin to help around the church and so forth and do those things, or to come out and work on the building and so forth. But now it's a little bit hard to do that. You may still have a lot of time available, but it just doesn't feel the same way anymore. The reason is not because God has changed or not because you've matured or anything like that. It's because we've lost a little bit of contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've missed a little bit along the line there, and we need to come back into His presence and begin to feel His heart again, and things will begin to look different. If you feel like an observer in this assembly, if when you come to services you kind of feel like you're coming in and watching everything that's going on, and you're thankful for what God is doing and so forth, but you kind of feel on the outside looking in, you've got to go deeper in God. You've got to go deeper in God. Every one of us should be in the nucleus. Every one of us should be right in the core, the nucleus of the body of Christ and the moving of the body of Christ. There shouldn't be people out in the outskirts kind of looking in. God wants us to bring us into a place where we're all one in Him, and where there's no successive gradations of being close to the center. God wants us all to be in that place of communion and fellowship with Him and with the body. And if you feel that way to this morning, if you feel like an observer, God is speaking to you and wants you to come into His very presence and be a part of the body. And if that involves giving of your time and money and so forth, all these things, apply those as well. But God, more than anything else, wants you and wants your heart and wants you to move into that place with Him. You've got to go in deeper. When you're getting used to water, if you're going to go in swimming, sometimes it's not very pleasant to take that extra step and sink down another foot and have that water come up over your chest. And you know how, you know, if it's a little bit cool, you know, you just, oh. It's a little bit difficult for the flesh. It doesn't feel too good at first. But then as you begin to start swimming, it starts to feel real good. But it doesn't feel good at first. So it is in the things of the Spirit of God. So it is whenever you begin to enter in a new area in your Christian life, in ministry, for example. So it is the first time you get up to testify. It doesn't feel real good walking up here. You begin to feel the butterflies and you begin to feel the fear. But once you begin to speak forth and the anointing comes forth and you begin to see what God has done, then it feels real good. And you know that you're in the place that God wants you to be, and you find yourself in a deeper place than you were before. There are many in this assembly that are on the outskirts that haven't really entered into the things of God. They're kind of afraid of what it might feel like to take another step and have some more of that water come over them. But I challenge you by the Spirit of the Lord to take that step this morning, to move into that place with God, because it's the only way that we're ever going to attain into the things of God. And if we stay on the outside and remain an observer all of our life, we'll never move into the things of God. When Jerome moved into the ministry of healing, it was a new step. And it was something that was unusual and uncomfortable at first, but God began to cause him to know that this was a deeper step that needed to be taken. And I believe that there are many men in this assembly, not just Bible college students, but some of the older ones, that God has ministries for. And it's easy for me to say this, you know, being a young person and so forth, but I know of a surety that God has called every one of us into areas, and I think we'll be absolutely astounded to see the kind of ministries that God will give to those who will begin to move in by faith and begin to see what God will do. We've got to move to that place. As Mary brought out some of the young men getting into the Sunday school, that doesn't look as exciting as teaching Bible college, I'll admit. You know, those little kids and so forth, you know, I'd have a hard time with that kind of thing. But I remember before I taught Bible college, I was teaching little kids and children in Bible clubs and so forth, and during the summertime and Sunday school classes and so forth. And it was it was not something that I, you know, was overwhelmed with at the time, but I began to see that God began to use me and that God began to show me things. And I found out that some of those things that those little kids think and the ways that they act is just the way grown-ups act sometimes too when they walk into the flesh. So you're learning some real important principles. And I really exhort you, if you're ever going to move on in God, some are waiting for a ministry in God. They're waiting to be called of God and so forth. You'll never get called until you start making yourself available to God right now and doing the most mundane things. You might be surprised how quick it is before you find yourself in a different place. And in closing, I just want to say we must honestly ask ourselves the following questions. First of all, where am I in God? Where am I in God? And really ask that from the heart. Where am I really? You know, not where do I think I am. Am I conforming to community chapel standards of conduct and so forth. It's a trap that we can oftentimes fall into because we become accepted in the assembly. And we get the feeling that because everybody thinks we're okay and so forth, you know, and we're in the body, you know, and so forth. But we could be missing an awful lot because God's not asking you, are you an acceptable member of community chapel? He's asking you to go deeper in Him, no matter where you are in Him. So we really need to ask ourselves the question, where am I in God? Not just looking at your flesh and showing all the things that you're weak in and so forth and falling into condemnation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about honestly looking at ourselves and seeing where we are in God and rejoicing that we're there, but realizing that God's calling us deeper. And ask ourselves the question, where am I going in God? Where am I going? Am I content to just be an outsider or just be an observer until the rapture? Or am I desirous of going to a place in God of ministry and of dedication and of the fellowship of His sufferings and identifying with Jesus Christ and beginning to know His heart and beginning to be on the front lines of the move of God in these last days? Where is our desire? Where is our heart? Where is it really? And ask ourselves the question, what could I be in God if I was fully surrendered to Him right now? What could I be in God if I was completely surrendered to God? Is there a limit to what God can do in my life? Is there a limit to what He can do? Is there a predestined plan that God has for me that I can only go so far and no further? Well, I'll let you know right now, there isn't. The will of God for your life is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself. What you saw Jesus do is the will of God for your life. And to the degree that you yield to God, you'll attain unto that very thing. There are no limitations that God places upon any man in terms of talents or abilities and so forth that God cannot overcome by His Spirit. And so we have no excuse. And what we need to say is, Lord, I want to begin to move in that place. I'm not going to be satisfied to stay behind and to just enjoy myself or even feel the blessings of God. I've got to move on to a place in you of identification with your very heart. This is where this honesty comes in. And God moves when there's an honest heart in people's lives and they begin to acknowledge their needs. And once you've prayed honestly about this matter and asked the Lord to take you to a deeper place, you need to begin to start moving out and making those decisions and doing those things that you've always wanted to do. Maybe you've always wanted to begin to be a new converts counselor or whatever it might be, and you've really wanted to share the heart of God with someone. You've really wanted to move in that place, but you just haven't felt yourself able to do it. Well, you need to make the dedication, express that to God, and then go out and do it. Just begin to do it. Begin to make yourself available in these ministries and allow God to begin to do it. You'll never know whether God has done the work unless you begin to put it to the test. And we oftentimes talk, Lord did a good work in my heart, but then we begin to need to apply that thing. And, why did he do a work in your heart? It's to get you into a deeper place in him, and so that you can begin to apply that work in your heart and see things done. And so faith, I believe, one of the most important parts about faith, and real faith in God, is simply knowing God. And when you know God, you know that he can do all things. When you know God, you know that you have the power available to you to get those things done. I'm going to ask music ministry, someone from music ministry, to come forward. We're going to sing that chorus, All I Want is Jesus. All I Want is Jesus. And I want this to be a prayer of our hearts. Many things have been brought forth in this service this morning. I know we're running a bit late, but I just pray that God would begin to use this. It hasn't been a real dynamic type of thing, and I didn't feel it that way by the Spirit of the Lord. I felt that God wants to take us into a quiet, deep, solid place in Him, where we begin to experience the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and we begin to know His heart and begin to communicate with His very presence and His very being and understanding what He's really like. And not just to be playing games, not just to be playing church, none of these things. God wants us to be in a place where it's actual reality. And whatever that means in your life needs to be done. You need to make that decision. And I know that it's not going to be the same in every life. I feel that by the Spirit of the Lord. There are different needs and there are different ways that God wants to work in your life to secure this very thing. And it's not going to be the same for everybody. But whatever it is, the most important thing is that desire for God has to grow in our hearts. It has to grow in our hearts. And the more we begin to desire Him, and the more we get dissatisfied and absolutely sick of the things of this world, I'll tell you, after a vacation like this, I get so sick of the world that I can't hardly stand it. I just get sick of not just worldliness, not just sin out there, but just the world itself, just being bound by this body and by this flesh and by everything. I just want to get free. I just want to get close to Jesus. Sometimes I feel like I just want to crawl away in a little hole someplace in the presence of God and just stay there forever. Someday we're going to. But in the meantime, God wants that work to be done in our heart. You can, in your heart, come to that place with the Lord. And I believe that God wants to take every one of us. You may not be able to stay and pray after service this morning, but on your way home and throughout the day, be asking God to reveal to you in your own heart what needs to be done so that you can begin to do all these things from a pure heart of rejoicing so that the works come from that first love and everything is a joy to do. There is no such thing as drudgery in the true Christian life. Everything is going to be a joy to do no matter what it is. And if that's not the case in your life right now, you know, God's not trying to chastise us. God's not trying to beat us over the head and condemn us. He's loving us and He's trying to pull us a little bit deeper in Him. He wants us to come in a little bit more. He loves us enough to want us to receive and taste more of His goodness. And some of us need to receive that this morning. So as we sing this song, I'm going to ask us all to stand right now. And just stand and sing this song as a prayer. Sing it as a prayer. This is going to be a prayer of every one of our hearts to the Lord. And as we sing the song, as the service will be dismissed, and you can take your liberty to come forward to the altars to pray or to go to the prayer rooms or to have someone pray with you or just to sit in the presence of the Lord and let this song be your prayer. But whatever needs to be done, I just feel that by the Spirit of the Lord, God wants to take us to a deeper place, not necessarily with a lot of noise and so forth, but just with the love of God and the power of God and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you. here this morning, that God has really spoken to your heart. I know God wants to speak to all of us in this area, but there are some that I feel that have felt like they have been outsiders in this assembly, that they feel like they've been coming to service and so forth, but they don't really feel a part of the body. They don't really feel one with the whole heart and tenor of everything. And they want to become a part of the body this morning in a deeper way, in a more full way. They want to become a part of what God is doing. Not just be observing, but partaking of the things of God. And that may involve financial things. It may involve time spent. It may be college students. It may be families that aren't in Bible college. Whatever, whoever it might be, I believe that God wants you to come forward tonight, stand in front, or this morning, and stand in front of the altar here, and kneel down, let others pray with you, that God would begin to take you to that place that He's talking about. So just come forward right now, those of you that feel this need upon your heart, that you feel that you just kind of been outside of things. You just haven't really been in the middle of things. You just have kind of been distant. But God wants you to draw nigh unto Him. And drawing nigh unto the body of Christ is part of drawing nigh unto Him in His very presence. And get it taken care of this morning. Don't go away and let this thing continue to plague you and let it continue to weigh you down. Just get it taken care of. There's such a freedom in coming into the presence of the Lord and saying, yes, O God. It's very much like our salvation experience. Just coming in and saying, yes, O God. There are others that know that God has a ministry for you and that He wants you to begin to testify, to begin to move out in exhortation. There are those that know that God wants to use them in chapel services and Bible college.